The Culture Proof Podcast thanks BJU Press Homeschool, our premier sponsor. We are super excited about biblical worldview woven into every subject that we teach. We are also excited about the BJU Press Homeschool secret sauce. I'm talking about the homeschool consultants who are spread all across the country, who once you purchase your curriculum, don't leave you to figure it out by yourself. They are there for you and with you on your homeschooling journey. I cannot recommend more highly BJU Press Homeschool, that comes equipped with homeschooling consultants who are praying for you, who are walking alongside you as you disciple and train your kids and ready them to live in a culture that is hostile to truth. Visit our friends today at BJUPressHomeschool.com. That's BJUPressHomeschool.com. Tell them that the Addison sent you.
Welcome to Culture Proof. I'm Will Addison, and you're listening to Wednesdays with Will. Glad that you're here with me today. We have something I want to discuss. We are currently at our local church going through some discipleship courses, a discipleship group called the Master Life Discipleship Study. And this past week's lesson was all about the fellowship of the believers, the importance of the body of Christ, the importance of the fellowship of the believers. And so I wanted to kind of talk about that today, because that's something that we can't gloss over, that God has made a way through the body of Christ that we would have the relationships that we would need to be able to go forward, to have accountability, to have someone that we're in a foxhole with, you know, be able to pray with. God has set this thing up, and this is a family affair. Like, God has set this up in our family, the family of God, that we would always have someone else that we can lean on, that we can call upon. And so it's so important, especially as we see the end coming, that we would know exactly who the family of God is. It's so important. So just wanted to say that how we treat one another matters. How we treat one another matters. And we are a family of believers. God has chosen to carry out his will through the concept of family. If you look throughout the scriptures, the Bible is a family book. You see the first family. You see Adam. You see Eve. You see their children. You see that we have been adopted into the beloved. You know, there's family language all throughout the Bible. So we see in the scripture that it speaks of an intimate relationship with family that's been bestowed upon us through the work of Jesus Christ. We are now part of the family of God because of the work of Jesus Christ. We all are literally brothers and sisters if we are in Christ, no matter what continent you're on. If you are in Christ, you are my brother or my sister because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's amazing that these relationships even supersede our biological family, that because of being in Christ, that's the most important relationships that we can have, the family of God. This can be a hard concept to understand, especially in a world of brokenness, if families are dysfunctional and what you know to be true is not a family that works well. But even in the context of families that are intact, there are different relational obstacles that can arise just from being in a family. Differing personalities. You and your siblings may have a different personality. There could be envy or jealousy within a family. Comparisons, you know, sometimes, you know, there's a child that may feel like, man, my brother or my sister is liked or loved more than me. For whatever reason, they may have these things, these hangups in their head. Pride, selfishness. In the body of Christ, if our identity is not sure, that could be like cultural issues. If we don't understand who we are in Christ, you know, there could be cultural issues that would arise. Misunderstandings, communication problems. All these things happen within the context of family. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, that a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. A brother is born for those times of adversity. You have someone who is in your family that is able to fight with you in those times of adversity. The Bible also says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 through 12, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. So you see right here the importance of having relationship, the importance of, you know, not being alone, especially in this walk in Christ, because there's so many things that can come up against us. And if you're out there by yourself, you're not part of a fellowship of the body of believers, man, you can be stranded, you know, just taking all of that heat by yourself. So the Bible has a lot to say on how we treat one another. And it was amazing just to in our Bible study yesterday, how just some of the examples of how the body of Christ can rally around one another, you know, in times of distress, in times of chaos, or even in joyful times where we rejoice with those who rejoice. But how should we treat one another? And sometimes family can be the most difficult to deal with. We know that's true. The people who are closest to you could be the ones that are the hardest to deal with. It is said that the people that are right there, that are right around you, are the ones that can hurt you the most and can hurt you the easiest. This also happens within the body of Christ. Remember, the body of Christ is a family. So there can be hurt feelings. There can be things that crop up that arise. If we don't tend to those things, a root of bitterness can spring forth even within our fellowships, our local fellowships, our churches. But this also happens within the body of Christ. There are people in our family that we may not get along with. In our biological family, there may be people that we may not get along with. We are just not a natural match with some people. There's some people you feel like, man, my personality does not jive with this other person's personality. But we don't cast them off as if they're not a part of the family. Even this, the scripture has a lot to speak about. We all have different personalities. Sometimes different personalities can cause conflict amongst believers. How are we supposed to relate to one another, seeing that we are all in the same family? Because we can't just say, well, I'm done with you. I don't want to talk with you because our personalities don't mesh. Once again, we are literally family. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 17, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Family language, adoption. You know, we were once a part of another family. We were children of wrath. We were children of the devil. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ, and him drawing us to himself, we are now part of the family of God. We've been adopted into the beloved family of God. Now we have the ability through that to cry out, Abba, Daddy, Father, that we are children of God now. So we don't say brother just out of tradition, you know, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. If we are both in Christ, his blood has purchased us and we are adopted literally into the family of God. This is why the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 through 29, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor freeman. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. It's a beautiful thing. Being in Christ, we are no longer identified by our ethnicity or our skin color or things like that. Man, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. In Christ, we don't look at, you know, just that lineage or where we came from just in the flesh. We have a new family. We have a new family tree, if you will. You know, things are new. We have been adopted. When someone is adopted, they are no longer part of the family that they were a part of, if they even had or knew who their family was. They've been brought out of one into another and established by law that this is now family, that they are part of this. It's a legal action. The Bible also says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 through 11, do not lie to one another. Okay, so we're talking about how we should treat one another, that the body of believers we should esteem. So Paul is saying, do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction, again, here he goes again, between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, freeman, but Christ is all and in all. Once again, we don't lie to one another because we are family, we are relationship. We don't do that. The things that we used to do, we lay aside because we now are in Christ. And it doesn't matter, once again, the ethnicity. So I can go to China and there's someone who's in Christ, who's a believer. They are my brother or my sister, literally, for real. They are, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We are family in God. And the methods of this world to divide the body are nonsense if we adhere to the word. All the things that this culture tries to throw at us to divide us, whether it be based upon skin color or socioeconomic status or whatever it may be, whatever form of partiality that this world desires for the church to be embroiled in, man, we reject that because we are family. That God has set us apart and we are the family of God. We don't lie to one another. We don't try to get over on one another. We don't, envy one another. We don't have jealousy towards our brother or our sister because we have laid aside that old nature with its practices. So in light of us being brothers and sisters in Christ, let's check out some more scripture. So Jesus said, in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, he said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you love also one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. It's simple. Love one another. Our relationships are marked by love because of what Jesus Christ has done. He said, a new commandment I give to you that you love one another, even as I have loved you. How did he love us? He gave it all. Wow. So he's saying, you guys are to love one another as I have loved you. That's a sacrificial love. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 says, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Oh, man, this rubs against the flesh. We don't like this. The old nature, that's why we have to lay that old nature aside, because this is counter what the old nature desires. For us to not be selfish and not operate in empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Then it says, do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. This is countercultural. This is being culture-proof. If we, by the power of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can live this out, this is counter the culture. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. Nothing. But with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. That's huge, because a lot of times we are taught, man, our happiness, what makes me feel good? I have to worry about myself. I have to make sure myself, you know, my health, my mental health, my this, man, is right. And I got to look out for me. Number one, nobody else is going to do it if I don't do it. All that stuff. But man, the scripture is telling us that we need to look out for the interest of others. Let it not be all about us. It's amazing. This is part of a feature of being in the body of Christ.
Are you looking for something fun and impactful for your kids to participate in this summer? Maybe you will allow them to join us and our family for a week in North Carolina at The Refuge. This is in Aiden, North Carolina. For one entire week, we and our family and a bunch of teenagers.
And mayflies.
And mayflies who all love Jesus. We don't know if the mayflies love Jesus, but the kids certainly love Jesus. We're going to be teaching biblical worldview. Yes. This is a week intensive of equipping and training kids to defend the truth of what they believe and to be able to stand boldly in a culture that is hostile to that truth. You can learn more by going to ncrefuge.org. That's ncrefuge.org. July 21st through the 26th, you have the opportunity to join us and our entire family for a week of culture proofing.
Yes, it's going to be fun. It's going to be intensive. It's going to be great. It's going to be some memories that they're going to be able to take back home with them. So sign your child up now. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 to 32. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. So this is how we ought to interact with each other. When we get with each other, man, are we speaking wholesome words? Because the Bible said, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment. So when we come together as believers, that should be conversation that would edify, that's appropriate for the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. And it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. How do we relate to one another? We put those things of the flesh aside. We put them away. Put them away from you, along with malice. Then he says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Oh, man, this takes things to a higher level. This is how we are supposed to act and engage one another within the body of Christ. And far too often we are below this standard. We treat our brother and sister in Christ, man, just like some stranger, someone who's not a part of the body. But this is a high thing that we are supposed to attain to love one another, to forgive just as we have been forgiven. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another just as you also are doing. The feature of us being in Christ, when we are relating to our brothers and sisters, we are to be encouraging one another and building one another up. How often do we come together and it's like negativity? Or we're trying to tear somebody else down to make ourselves look better in the eyes of man? That is not to be. We ought to be encouraging one another. We ought to be building one another up. This is a true feature of the body of believers. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. That's simply said. Treat people how you desire to be treated. This should be a feature of being in a body of believers, that we treat others how we want to be treated. Now, this is not only relegated to the body of believers. We should treat those who don't know Christ like we want to be treated as well. Because our aim ultimately is that men would know him. And so if we're treating people who don't know Christ in a way that is disparaging, man, how would that draw men unto him? That will repel men. And so we want to make sure that we are engaging even with the world in a manner that Christ would approve that we engage. Okay. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. So basically, it's a lie if you're saying that you hate your brother, but you love God. This is why so-called racism, which I call partiality, is so much against, you know, the will of God. You can't hate somebody and say, I hate this person based upon whatever, and say you love God. So for those who, you know, would be Christian, but say, I don't like this person, I hate this person because of whatever reason, that's not godly. That's no way that can be possible. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 through 13. And I'm going through these scriptures because I want you to know that the Bible has a lot to say about how we relate to one another. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, and practicing hospitality. Oh, man, what a beautiful thing. This is how we are to operate within the body of Christ. Oh, man, and it's a beautiful thing, but yet it's convicting, because even as I'm reading off these scriptures, just reading the scripture, see, the word of God, it brings light. It illuminates us. It illumines our mind. The word of God is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And so as I'm reading these scriptures, it's convicting. Am I acting in the way that the word is portraying here that I should be as a believer? Am I loving without hypocrisy? Am I abhorring what is evil and clinging to what is good? Am I devoted to my brother, my sister in brotherly love? Am I giving preference to, are we giving preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality? Am I doing that? That's the question. Are you doing that? And if not, man, the beautiful thing is that we can go to the Father and say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Help me to operate like you desire for me to operate within this body of believers. Romans chapter 15, verse 1 through 7. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Oh, man. How many times is someone going through something, we see a weakness that we pounce on them, that we may look at them and be like, oh, man. Look at them. Instead of having a position within our heart to bear with them, to try to strengthen them, to look out for them, to say, how can I pray for you? I see that you're going through a tribulation or a trial. I want to walk alongside of you. Now we who are strong, if you claim to be strong, bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification, for even Christ did not please himself. Oh, man. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice. Oh, man, do you hear the language? There should be a closeness and a being knit together within the body of Christ. So many times we're so splintered. We allow the enemy to come in and sow seeds of discord and doubt and, you know, man, and hatred and things between brothers and sisters. If we don't catch that stuff, it's leaven. It will spread throughout the body of Christ. It will spread throughout your church. It will cause church splits, all kind of havoc. It will wreak havoc upon the relationships that's supposed to be solid in Christ. Just reading these scriptures, man, the word of God. The word of God tells us how we are to interact with one another. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. Oh, man. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Do not sharply rebuke an older man. It gives us even how we are to interact with those who are older than us, you know, elders. But rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger men as brothers. Man, relationship matter. How we treat one another matters. The older women as mothers and the younger women as sisters in all purity. Lays it out, man. The word of God. Oh, God, thank you for your word. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 17. It says, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. The Apostle Paul is not, he's not saying that there won't be complaints or things that rise up. But if you have a complaint, If there is a complaint that arises against anyone that you're affiliated with, anyone within the body of Christ, he says, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Then he says, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. That's what we seek within the body of Christ. Bond, a bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. I'm just reading the scriptures, y'all. Man, if you're in the body of Christ, we need to evaluate how we're treating one another. It says something to the world, how we treat one another. I read that scripture earlier. You will know, the world will know that we are Christ's disciples by the love we have for one another. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, showing tolerance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time, we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. All people the believer is to do good to. But listen to this. And especially to those who are of the household of faith. Wow. There's a special place for the family of God. We do good to everyone, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed, which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring word of God. Oh, man. Praise God for his word. We have no excuse, brothers and sisters. No excuse. We ought to treat one another with love, respect, adoration. We ought to esteem the body highly. Man. There should be nothing but love coming from us. This does not mean that if there is correction or rebuke that needs to be given for, we do that even in love. If someone is found in sin, we have a heart to restore the brother or sister. Yes, we confront sin, but we do it out of love, understanding that we ourselves are human, that we ourselves may struggle with things. But we do it, and we do it in love. We do it in love. The one another's are important. They are an important portion of our fellowship. It takes into consideration that we will be together a lot and need each other. We will be, see, when you're with someone a lot, there's going to be, you know, some bristles. There's going to be some spikes that kind of shoot out sometimes. You know, iron sharpening iron. There's going to be some things that's going to rub you the wrong way. So we're going to be together a lot, just like in family, because it is a family. We're going to be together a lot. So the Bible instructs us how we are to interact with one another. Even in our correction of each other, we are to do it as a family. And this is what I was talking about just now. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 through 5. We bring rebuke, we bring correction, but it's done out of love. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in a trespass, in any trespass, you who are spiritual, once again, if you're strong, if you're spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load. We even correct, we even bring rebuke in love, knowing and understanding that we ourselves can be tempted in that way. It's important how we esteem the body. You know, that was the situation between Paul and Barnabas when they had decided to go back to some of the places that they had visited and just to see how the brethren were doing. Paul and Barnabas had a sharp disagreement because Barnabas desired to bring John Mark along for the journey, but John Mark had abandoned them at one point in the journey. So Paul's like, no, I don't want to take him. And so the Bible said it was a sharp disagreement. So you got to understand, Paul and Barnabas had a history. Barnabas was the one that brought Paul before the apostles to say, man, he's cool. He's one of us. He's us, man. They didn't believe. Because of the reputation of Paul, Saul back then. But Barnabas, the son of encouragement, brought him before the apostles. He went and found Paul when he was going out to Antioch. He went to search for him because he knew the giftings and the abilities that Paul had would be a great blessing for the church that would be in Antioch. Barnabas had a heart towards Paul. So this sharp disagreement was big. And I in my imagination, I can just imagine Barnabas saying, man, I want to take John Mark, who happened to be Barnabas's cousin. I know he messed up. I know he bailed on us. But man, let's give him a chance. Paul, you remember what you came from? I can see Barnabas. Come on, man. Like, man, I was the only one that believed and brought you before the brethren. You can't do that. Like, we need to take John Mark. And Paul's like, nope. He abandoned us. Any man having put his hand to the plow and looked back is not fit. He can't come. And so they divided on this. And Barnabas went his way. And Paul went his way with Silas, you know. But we see even towards the end of Paul's life, he's calling for John Mark. He said, send me John Mark because he is useful to me in the ministry. So Barnabas, I believe, took John Mark and was like, and helped him to grow. So much so that the Apostle Paul called for John Mark, send for him. He's useful in the ministry, you know, and they had this sharp disagreement. And, you know, it doesn't go beyond that and say, you know, what else happened beyond that. But it doesn't say that, man, they became enemies for life. That's not the way that God would have done it. That's not what God would have approved of. They had a sharp disagreement. They went their separate ways. But you don't see anything in scripture saying that they were enemies for the rest of their lives, because I don't believe that that took place. I don't believe that that took place. Barnabas was highly esteemed among the brethren. Apostle Paul was as well. They had a disagreement. They parted ways. But if you look, because of the reason that they had this disagreement, Paul was calling for John Mark to come and join him. So you can take from that, man, things were made right. You know, there was also an instance where Paul had to rebuke Peter to his face because he was showing partialities. You know, he was showing partiality when everybody was there, the Gentiles, the Jews, they were all chilling, you know, eating together. And then all of a sudden the Judaizers came, the ones who said that, no, you need to be circumcised. You need to be, I mean, we don't eat with. And then Peter began to distance himself, like, I'm not with them. And Paul rose up. He said, I had to rebuke him to his face because he stood opposed, like, to him because of the gospel's sake, that he was showing forth partiality. Now, it doesn't say from there that, you know, Paul and Peter had beef for the rest of their life. Like, no, this had to be done. So you have hard things that happen in families, and God desires for us to deal with those things. I'm not saying at all that we don't deal with sin, with error, that we don't correct things that have been wrong. We do. But the manner in which we do it has to be in gentleness and humility, understanding that we can be tempted as well, that we may mess up as well, and we would desire to have that same gentleness pointed towards us when we mess up. So basically what I'm saying here, body of believers, let's love one another. All those scriptures, I would just advise you to go back and listen again. You can write down the scriptures, read them for yourself. Because as I read through these scriptures, there's no excuse in my heart or in my mind that says that, you know, I can treat a brother or sister poorly just because I don't like them, or our personalities don't click, or whatever the reason may be. No, we ought to show love for the body of believers. We ought to show love for our family. We ought to show love for Christ, who has given us these families and made us a part of these families. Man, praise God for that. We have to resist those cultural trends that would rival the truth, that would say, no, you treat people any old way. You think about yourself first. You think about, you know, what you're going to get out of the deal. It's all about you. And if we do that, we will remain culture proof. Until next time, Lord willing, God bless.